Do you believe? Isn't there some show or something that starts like that? Do you believe? No?
No? Are you afraid of the dark?
Afraid of the dark, that's what I was thinking.
Ooh, what, I would love for that show to be redone. Like, all these weird reboots. I would love for Are You Afraid of the Dark to be one.
Yeah.
Like, who needs Gossip Girl Part 2? Let me see Are You Afraid of the Dark.
Right.
Ew, I mean, Gossip Girl.
I'm probably going to watch it.
All right, so Kentucky.
Kentucky.
The land of horses. I was kind of disappointed not to get Kentucky. Because it's massive horse country. It's like where Kentucky Derby is run there, and Secretariat grew up on a farm there. I want to visit Kentucky. I've never been.
Sure. Well, we're not talking about horses today.
Oh, there's no horse ghosts?
No, there's no horse ghosts. Well, I mean, there might be, but that's not what we're talking about today.
Frankly.
Kentucky has a couple of popular urban legends, but... this urban legend that we're going to talk about today has an actual body count.
Oh.
So,
that's a pretty solid way to begin.
Hey-o.
Can you figure out how that works?
I thought you were going to say, can you figure out what it is? Like, we had to... yeah.
Could you please guess?
Take a guess?
Anything?
No, take a guess.
Well, she's already read, so she knows.
Urban legend... oh, okay, fair enough. I've never heard of it. Maybe. Body count, I'm not happy about that.
Wow. Well, right.
Creepy.
Correct.
So, in Louisville, Kentucky... okay, I don't know if you can actually hear me, okay?
Yeah, you seem okay.
Okay.
I mean, it's different just because it's a different program. I
can't really tell me.
Me, but I think you're okay.
Okay. In Louisville, Kentucky, there's an old trestle bridge that was built in the late 1800s and serves as a railroad overpass for the Northern Suffolk Railway. The bridge itself passes over the Popelet Creek and can be described as rusty and rickety looking. It's one of those bridges. Do y'all know what trestle means? I had to look it up. I wasn't sure.
It has something to do with the construction of the bridge, right?
Yeah. So it's basically, it's like one of those like old bridges, like it's really tall and it's only got really, it's got train tracks on
okay.
it. So it's like one of those bridges that you would see in a horror movie. It's only wide enough, like I said, for the train tracks, and then there's a few feet of railroad ties on either side.
Right. Like they wouldn't build them that way now.
Right.
Okay.
Like it's not something a car, like there's no cars, no walkways.
It's only for
nothing.
The train.
Yes.
Got it.
There's no railings and nowhere to hide from trains. There's a 90-foot drop at its
Ooh.
Center
Ooh.
And a 20 to 30-foot drop at either end.
Mm-mm.
So,
like that.
If you look up pictures of the bridge itself is enough to give a warning that there might be something creepy going on in the area, just because it kind of looks, like I said, like it could be in a horror film. But this urban legend is not about the old trestle bridge. It's about the Goat Man, who is also known as the Popelet Monster.
The Goat Man.
Have you heard of him?
Not about Kentucky.
Do that.
What?
Not about Kentucky, but like when I was growing up, I had this friend whose dad swore that there was a goat man. You know that hill? I don't know if it's Grand Prairie or where it is, but it's like if you're on 20 and you're going to Parks Mall, right?
Uh-huh.
That's 20, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
And you kind of go around. There used to be like the Boy Scouts had that like Texas thing on
yes,
the hill.
Yes, yes.
Right? Yeah. Well, I don't know if... I think that's Grand Prairie, but I'm not sure.
Yeah,
but
I think
he
so.
Said that there was the goat man that lived up there. So
oh,
like, the
sure.
goat man is obviously like a common urban legend. I know nothing about it,
so,
only the name.
When Terrence looked over my shoulder like while I was doing research, he was like, why does it seem like everybody has a goat man? And I was like, do they really? I don't
yeah.
know. I think this is the first one that I've really heard of.
It's like everyone has a goat man
yeah.
and everyone has a lady of the lake.
That's, yeah, I guess
lady
so.
Lady of the lake for sure.
So this goat man is also known as the Popelet Monster. And
I've heard of that.
Have you?
I have, but I don't know.
Maybe it was because you were reading my notes.
No, I have heard of the Popelet Monster
so
before.
Salty.
I don't know.
Well, have you been to Kentucky?
Yes, but it was a long time ago, and I don't think it was then. Maybe it was. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Tell me more.
No. Nah. Well, actually, yeah.
No.
No, I'm not going to tell you anymore. I'm done.
Sorry, guys.
The goat man lives in the woods under the bridge and is responsible for several actual deaths, ranging from the late 70s to all the way to 2019 is the latest that I read about.
It's a big span of time.
Right? So, like many of the urban legends we hear about in research, there are varying stories about what the goat man does, where he might have originated from, but one pretty steady constant when it comes to the story, like, you know, sometimes you hear like, oh, some versions they're good, some versions are bad. No matter which version of his story you believe, any encounter with the Popelet Monster is likely to get you killed.
Okay.
Gee,
no, I don't like that at all.
So, yeah.
So, yeah.
So, well, I'll start by talking about his appearance a little bit. The Popelet Monster is often described as being a large, mysterious, and very tall man. He's said to be part goat, though some say part sheep.
What?
Yeah.
Pick one.
So he's called the Goat Man, but there are varying, I didn't see nearly as many references, but varying references that say the Sheep Man instead.
The Sheep Man doesn't have the same ring to it.
Not exactly.
No, it really doesn't.
Either way, he has horns, usually described as ram-like, but then also mm-hmm. sometimes they're described as short and sharp, protruding from his forehead. Mm-hmm. Some say that most of the rest of him is human-like, and some say that he has only the chest and arms of a human. He's often described as having a grotesquely deformed body of a man with powerful fur-covered goat legs.
Oh.
His skin is deathly pale, and he has wide-set yellow eyes. Some say that he has a nose like an eagle's beak.
Ew.
The goat man is also said to have long, greasy hair that matches the color of the fur covering his legs. He is said to carry a rusty, blood-stained axe and have claw-like human hands. So that's his appearance. So like I said, there's different stories about his origins. As usual, each version is pretty sad, so there's not really a good pick here, but...
Like, sad as far as, like, how he ended up that way.
Right.
Okay.
Or just, like, kind of where he came from and how he started. So, there are some who say that it was passed down... So, like, the only version that's not really sad is just... Still kind of sad, anyway. There are some who say that it was passed down as a story to keep people away from the trestle because it used to be a really popular dare to see if you could get across without being run over by a train. But,
okay.
But people were often getting severely injured or killed, so someone started this story as a deterrent. Sounds like we have more than one angry sidekick.
You know, the best part is... It's like, if you had not stopped and addressed it, someone listening would have been like, there's a haunted baby on that.
Sorry, cut that out.
Sorry, guys. My son is not very happy, so I apologize for the screaming child in the background.
So if it's to be believed that this was just a story made up to keep people off the bridge, it didn't work. So.
Yeah.
Less popular versions of the story include the idea that the goat man was once an old chemist who became a recluse after his face was horribly burned in an explosion.
Oh, okay.
Or that he was just a hermit living in an old shack in the area.
Same.
So, right. So those are like...
Old scratch.
Not the same.
Oh, gosh.
That was like a one-off here or there that where I read those.
Right.
Some claim that he was born as the result of a farmer who had an inappropriate relationship with a goat or sheep.
Oops.
Right. My guess was that this...
It's not okay.
It's not pleasant. My guess is that this was probably like a dumb joke that just took off in some versions.
Most likely.
In this version of the story, a goat gave birth to a child with both goat and human characteristics. The farmer tried to hide the child away, but eventually the goat man killed the farmer and escaped into the woods where it likes to hang out near the trestle.
Sure.
Yeah.
So that was a little bit more popular, but still not as popular. The last two versions of the story...
I'm not over it. Okay. Here we are.
The last two versions of the story are the more popular versions. Okay. So one states that there was a farmer...
I'm sorry.
Liam's like, come, hold me instead. One states that there was
Where's a farmer... Where's that even coming from? Like, do we have no insulation in these walls?
He was crying when we were doing... This is my nephew. He knew. And I couldn't hear him in the episode.
No, I couldn't either, but he's quite a bit louder.
But he is a bit louder.
His lungs have developed some since then.
Yes, some.
Yeah. Where was I?
I'm sorry. This was a disaster. This is why, from now on, we record on Fridays while he's at school.
Oh, okay.
Except then, like, by the time it's time to record again.
Yeah, we're at work.
We'll be back to work.
Right.
Okay.
All right, sorry anyway. About that. Good idea, though.
That was a good idea.
I tried.
We'll go in the bathroom.
Yeah, right. Go hide in the closet.
We used to.
We did.
That's true.
Okay. It was a good time.
All right, so one of the stories states that there was a farmer in this area that was struggling with his crops. He was so desperate for help that he made a deal with Satan, in which he was required to forfeit his soul and torture and sacrifice a herd of goats in exchange for satanic powers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, also not pleasant. The legend goes that in this process, the farmer was transformed into the terrible creature that is known today as the Popelik monster, mm-hmm. and that he was sent to live under the trestle bridge, seeking revenge on people.
Mm-hmm. But why is it the Popelik monster?
Because it's a Popelik creek.
Sorry, yes.
Oh, I didn't get that.
Got
there.
It. Okay.
Yeah, I said that in the beginning, but it was kind of fast, so I'm probably just...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
This particular story, though, apparently, so that's really the version of the story that there is, but that particular version apparently drew followers of Satanism to the area, and there were rumors in the mid-1970s that a satanic cult...
Speaking of...
A satanic cult began doing demonic rituals in the Popelik area.
Okay.
Apparently, cats and dogs were disappearing, and it was believed that they were being used for blood rituals in the nearby Four Winds Farm.
No.
So the farm is near...
I don't like that.
I don't either. The farm is near the trestle, and the Satanists who gathered there are said to have worshipped the Popelik monster, believing that he was an embodiment of Baphomet. Have you guys heard of that?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so it's also known as the Goat of Mendez or the Sabbatic Goat. So basically, I had to do some research to figure out what I was even talking about here. But he's a deity that the Knights Templar were accused of worshiping that later became incorporated into the occult and mystical traditions.
Really?
What was that?
What was that?
That was my phone that fell. I wouldn't even touch him yet. Grief. Oh, God. Public monster. That's scary.
I don't think he jumps to Texas, so I think we're okay.
It's like when we were recording, we thought there was a ghost in my old office, but it was really that guy.
No, that was terrifying.
That was funny.
Poor Tammy, I'm sorry, you're trying.
No, you're fine. Baphomet. He's supposed to represent the symbolization of the equilibrium of opposites, so that's where like half human, half animal comes from, and also a tradition that should result in perfect societal order, social order.
Interesting.
Yeah, nah, not about it. Apparently, all the way into the 90s, people reported hearing drum beats and chanting coming from the farm on particularly dark nights.
Nope.
So that's the origin of, you know, like the deal with Satan.
Not a fan.
The deal with Satan.
What I think, yeah, literal deal with Satan. Yeah.
Fair.
What I think was the most popular and the version that kind of just seems to make the most sense, if there's a version of an urban legend that makes sense, is this last one. And it's, the story says that there was a traveling circus, or what would have been known at the time as a freak show, with a cruel ringmaster named Colonel Beauregard Schildknecht, I think.
Not Beauregard.
Yeah, Beauregard. Exactly what I said. This ringmaster was believed to mistreat all of his performers and was also known as a liar and a cheat who did not care about anything but money and obtaining it by any means, which sounds in line with anything that I've read about.
I think that was pretty common for kind of that era and that sort of spectacle.
Right. So it is said that one day the circus passed through Beltsville, Maryland, where Beauregard came across a poor child who appeared to be a goat-human hybrid. As he would, Beauregard took the child and displayed him in his shows. Throughout the goat man's life, he was imprisoned, beaten, underfed, and mistreated in every way for his entire life. Naturally, his hatred for humans grew more and more as time went on, and he eventually plotted an escape. Mm-hmm. So even within this version of the story, though, there are variations as to how the goat man escaped. Some say that he escaped on the trestle and was struck by lightning, there, which transformed him into a violent monster who hungers for blood, which... If you paid attention to the beginning of the story, he kind of already had that, you know, the background for wanting. Mm-hmm. Others say that the goat man was imprisoned on the circus train. So the circus was actually traveling on the train, and lightning struck the train as it was thundering over the trestle, which caused it to derail and crash, killing nearly everyone inside. In this version of the legend, the goat man survived, escaped, and tore all other survivors to shreds in bloody revenge, including Colonel Beauregard.
Well,
had it coming.
Yeah.
He had it.
I knew I had to pause for that.
Okay, I'm sorry.
This revenge was not enough for him, however, so he continued to seek revenge on all humankind ever since. There's another urban legend that crosses with this one here, because these tracks are also the location for the legend of the Kentucky Ghost Train, and many believe that the circus train that the public monster escaped from is that very same train. So I didn't do a lot of research on that one, because there's a whole separate legend, but... Yeah,
that sounds like something I would be like, girls, let's go ride the Kentucky Ghost Train.
Yeah,
does that not sound like something I would ask y'all to do?
It does,
but as it passes over the public trestle, I'm going to be not going on that trip.
Jump out, though, while it's going over the trestle.
No, fair.
I would hope that you would not jump out in general, but okay.
That's a great point. Yeah. Good point. You bring a very compelling argument.
I do try.
So those are pretty much the options for origins. The next thing that kind of varies is how he acts and like takes out. So in every version, he's looking for revenge, he's out for blood. Like I said, you get killed in every version, but there's different ways that
pick your poison, but it's not going to end well.
Right. Maybe just don't pick it all,
or just don't go.
Right. So if you visit the bridge where he resides, the Poplic monster will kill you or lure you to your death. It is especially dangerous to find yourself in this area after dark, which is usually the case with urban legends. There are different versions of the legend that explain the methods of the Goatman, but the result in all of them is the same. So some say that the Goatman will use hypnosis or a siren voice techniques to lure you to your death. He will either hypnotize you or climb onto the bridge, or he will use a childlike voice or mimic a voice that is familiar to his victim to call for help from the tracks on the bridge, causing his victims to be plowed down by the oncoming train.
That sounds a lot like your Alaska episode.
Yes, I thought of that too, yeah. People who believe this particular version of the story say that he is extremely clever and will use all kinds of tricks to lure you onto the trestle. Some say he will even call out your name, sometimes in the voice of a loved one, or mimic a sound like a kitten or a crying baby.
No.
Mm-hmm. I don't like that at all.
Nope. Other people say that he uses his bloody axe to murder you after luring you, or if you go looking for him. There are no reports of anyone dying in his domain from axe wounds, so it seems like the idea that he lures his victims with trickery is a more likely story. There have, however, been mutilated farm animals found in the area that have been attributed to the goat monster and his axe. So, you guys are quiet? You didn't like that part?
Just absorbing it.
A little baffled.
Listening again for the ghost train is what I'm doing over here.
No one's listening to me at all. It's just the ghost train.
I'm sorry, tell me what you were saying?
Some also tell that he will wait on the bridge and jump down onto the roofs of cars driving underneath and attack them that way.
Okay, you know how I feel about the roof of cars. I don't like it at all.
I know. In fact, when I was doing this research and typing this in, I'm like, Aaron's not going to like this.
Mm-hmm. I was reading a book the other day where it was one of the Rick Riordan and all the Greek mythology stuff. And like this animal like landed on the roof of the car and the hoof went through. And I was like, I don't like that.
No, nope.
I don't like that.
No, no. There are even some who say that the sight of the monster is so horrifying and unsettling that it will cause any who see it while walking across the trestle to leap off to their death.
You know,
you gotta be real ugly to spur me to death. Right. I'm kind of a fan of life.
Horrifying and unsettling were the descriptor words there. So, I told you that there are actual deaths related to this urban legend. Even though there have been no actual accountable sightings of the Goatman himself, there are multiple well-documented deaths that have occurred in the location where he is believed to torment people. Reports indicate that there were at least two confirmed deaths in 1987 and 1988 attributed to the legend. 17-year-old Jack Charles Baum, I think, the second, was hit by a train walking on the tracks, and 19-year-old David Wayne Bryant jumped to dodge the train and died of his injuries later. In 1994, a man was killed by a train after his ATV overturned on the trestle, trapping him on the track.
Oh. Whew. Bad way to go.
Just don't go up there.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
Right.
I mean, no disrespect to anybody
here. Yeah, but just maybe don't go.
Just maybe don't go up there.
Let's learn from these poor people's
lessons. Correct. Exactly. Yeah,
lessons learned.
In 2000, 19-year-old Nicholas Jewell fell to his death after encountering a train and attempting to hold on to the side of the tracks as it passed. Four friends who were with him told police that Nicholas tried to cross the trestle and made it about halfway before the train showed up. He moved to the side and tried to hold on to one of the railroad ties, but the vibration shook him loose and he fell.
Sure. Okay, so I'm sorry to jump in here, but you've established that this trestle is 90 feet.
Right, in the center, and 20 to 30 on, so at its best point, it's 20 to 30 feet down.
And 20 feet is still a lot. Right. So, no disrespect, and I have a fear of heights, so I'm probably not even the right person to be analyzing this, but
I'm with you.
What do you need to prove that, there's not a good scenario? You know what I mean? You're not awesome because you managed to get across that.
No.
That just stresses me out as a parent.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I think there are probably cases where it was kids just, it's just a dangerous place and they're like, oh, I can do it. You know what I mean? Like trying to prove a point.
Sure. But,
a lot of times it's people who are going looking for the goat man.
For the goat man.
Right.
Sure.
So, this next story specifically, there was more information about it because there was a survivor who kind of was telling about what happened.
Okay.
On April 23rd, 2016, Raquel Bain, who was a 26-year-old tourist from Ohio, was killed after being hit by the train while searching for the goat man. She and her boyfriend, David Nee, were on a vacation and had bought tickets to a paranormal tour beginning at the haunted Waverly Hills Sanatorium, which I'm like, that hits too close to home because it sounds like something we would do.
Absolutely.
Right.
And have.
Right. According to her loved ones and friends, Bain was basically fearless and very adventurous and had heard of the Poplic Monster, so she thought it would be fun to detour and check out his stomping grounds before the tour since it didn't start until 10 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, while on the trestle, she was struck by an oncoming train. David, her boyfriend, survived by hanging on to the side of the trestle. So he was able to pull this off where many people wouldn't be able to because he is a martial arts instructor who regularly lifts weights and says that he just shifted into survival mode.
Yeah, he has massive core strength, I'm sure.
Right. He reported later that the train came so close to him that it grazed his arm and left a mark. He also said that as he dangled off the train tracks out of the corner of his eye, he actually watched Raquel's body go flying.
Oh, no.
So even though he survived, he was He was charged with a misdemeanor trespassing on railroad property for interfering with the train by the Norfolk Southern Police, mm-hmm. which he said he understands, but also that it wasn't necessary as far as making him feel accountable since he already suffers from PTSD, anxiety, sure. and depression since the accident.
I get that. Right,
so basically, yeah. like, I read there were a couple of different articles because, you know, something like this is going to be reported on.
Yeah.
But I read an article that was his viewpoint, basically, like, saying, like...
That was hard.
Yeah, exactly. And, oh. in fact... I didn't even put this in the notes, but I remember that it said that they had only been dating a month, but that, like, it was just one of those relationships where she had just, like, touched his life more than almost yeah. anybody else had. So, sure. you know. Anyway.
I do get, not to make, like, a commentary or to speak out of turn, but, like, I do understand why law enforcement would have to assign something mm-hmm. there because it does need to be some level of deterrence. Because yeah. imagine this couple goes and nothing tragic happens.
Right.
But, like... You know, trains have schedules, so I don't right. know if people are not looking at these schedules or mm-hmm. if it's just very erratic. I don't know, because mm-hmm. I don't know enough about the railway system, but, like, right. what if the conductor saw someone and, like, had to slam on the brakes, and there's injury, and yes. there's
yeah.
damage to good... I mean, like, there does have to be some level of accountability, right. but also, I totally understand right. what he's saying, because, right. like, he is suffering so much already that it's, like, that fine probably meant nothing.
Right, exactly. You know? Yeah, sure. I think it was more like a... like, proving a point or yeah. whatever. And actually, there's something later. I know I took some notes on, like, some comments from train conductors. Mm-hmm. And what I read with him, though, is that, like, local police decided not to prosecute or do anything. And but the I guess the train
the railway
has
commission.
Its own. Yeah. yeah. And so they fined him. And then May 26, 2019, Savannah Bright, a 15-year-old girl, was hit by a train and killed on the trestle. People believe that her reason for being in the way of the train was the Poplick monster. Savannah was with a friend that survived but was taken to the hospital in serious condition. And since they were minors, her name wasn't released.
Sure.
One article said that there had been a rumor circulating the weekend before of a dead body that had been found underneath the trestle. So I didn't find any story about that to, like, see if it was true or if it mm-hmm. was just, like, a local rumor that caused them to go looking for it or what. But in addition to these, there have apparently been other suicides, near misses, and deaths of homeless people discussed in relation to the Goatman legend.
Yeah.
A retired train engineer named Wayne Gentry, oh, this is what I was talking about, who regularly drove down this track, reported that he was involved in 43 collisions during his 34-year career with Norfolk Southern Railroad, only one of which was a suicide. I'm not sure if they were all in that exact location, but that's Jeez. Kind of the impression that I got from what he shared.
That's really traumatizing for him as well.
Exactly, oh, for yeah. sure. So Fire Chief Sean F. Dreisbach from nearby Jeffersontown said that an average train takes from a third to a half mile to stop.
Yeah.
So if you're on the trestle when one is coming, it's going to hit you.
Yeah.
The trestle presents a huge problem because there's not a way to properly secure it and keep people from going onto it. There are warning signs, and apparently, like, the railway itself erected an 8-foot fence that was, but it obviously doesn't always work.
Yeah, like, to keep people from getting on it, you mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, like, put warning signs and, like, the yeah, fence yeah, is yeah. basically supposed to be a deterrent, but obviously it's people go in or around. Or, yeah. yeah. Local farmers are apparently not too fond of the legend either because it has caused many adventure seekers to wander onto their lands and mm-hmm. sometimes even vandalize their property.
Sure.
Some of these farmers are known to be armed and dangerous, so locals are discouraged from messing with them or going onto their land. Basically, locals are like, yeah, don't go mm-hmm. looking. This is another one of those that's kind of like, yes, some local people will go and, you know, like, local kids will go be involved and look for the Poplick monster.
Mm-hmm.
But people come from out yeah, of mostly town, it's like, right?
Yeah, travelers.
Right. There have also been many animal deaths over the years that are rumored to be because of the Goatman, because he also attacks livestock. So these farmers are sometimes armed just yeah, to protect their yeah, animals sure. from him as well.
Sure.
So there's some media appearances, which maybe this is where you've heard of it before.
Maybe.
I don't know. In 1988, Louisville filmmaker Ron Schildknecht, there's a lot of names in here that I can't seem yeah. to pronounce.
Say that's right.
Made a 16-minute film titled The Legend of the Poplick Monster. Most of the film was shot at the trestle, but scenes that showed characters actually up on the trestle were apparently shot at a safer location.
Good job.
Norfolk Southern Railway officials were upset about it, though, because they were concerned that it was misleading and would encourage teenagers to visit the trestle. They issued a statement at the premiere stating that anyone that was caught on the trestle would be prosecuted for trespassing. And so this was in 1988. Remember, there was the guy in, I think it was 2000, that tried to hold on to the side.
Uh-huh. Oh, and didn't.
in the movie, apparently one of the main characters survives that way. So they were like, basically, that was exactly what they were afraid of, that it was going to be misleading. People were going to think that they could either outrun it or...
Yeah, it became like a guidance, a how-to.
Right.
That is wild that such a thing... Like, why haven't they... made a new track, like,
it's a great question.
I know, I was surprised in doing this research that they hadn't just shut it down at this point.
Yeah.
I don't know how like hard.
The Hell's Gate Bridge from, that might have been our very first Urban Legend episode, though.
Yeah, Alabama
one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, where they just, like, they diverted shut it down. The highway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My assumption is the amount of money that it would take to move the rope, but it might be worth the...
It's always money.
Yeah. Whew. So the story of the Goatman was also featured in an episode of Destination America's Monsters and Mysteries in America. The name of the episode was Ozarks.
Okay.
No.
Never seen it.
There has also been a play written by Naomi Wallace titled The Trestle at Popelet Creek. Not sure if this one involves the monster or just the location. It is described as a complex and well-received play that has been staged all over the country. It is set during the Great Depression in 1937 and is about two confused teenagers that race across the trestle as they hear the train approaching. That was the description.
I don't like that.
Doesn't seem like a whole, like, I mean, there's got to be a lot more to it.
Yeah.
It was also said there was a critic who called it complicated and said it moves back and forth between past and present and has layers of meaning. So I don't know. Like I said, it didn't specifically say that that was about the goat man, but it was about the trestle, so I don't know if he was involved or not. The Popelet Monster even has his own Facebook page.
Oh, good. We should friend him.
So it was reportedly started as a high school class project about folklore, which I was like, why didn't I get that kind of project?
Yeah, right?
Seriously.
But it was linked to by a local paper, which caused it to be flooded by digital legend trippers. I heard that term a lot.
I've never heard
in this research. I hadn't heard of it either. So
I like that.
Yeah, I guess maybe that's what we are, legend trippers.
That's exactly
right. We are legend trippers.
The Facebook page is believed to have been... to have allowed the legend to reach a much larger audience than it would have otherwise.
Sure.
Okay.
So it's actually set up in first person. I went and looked at it because, I mean, of course I did.
Yeah, of course.
Why wouldn't you?
It's set up in first person from the point of view of the goat man. And apparently the site routinely fields all sorts of random questions to him, such as, like, whether or not he has human lungs or if he smokes weed.
These are important questions.
Right. I was laughing at these.
I mean,
that's greatness.
I feel like now I just want to... go, and when we're done with this episode, we might have to look up the goat man.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it's
pretty
fun social experience.
It was kind of funny if you're not thinking about, like, the context of all the bad stuff that's happened there. You're just like, goat man has a Facebook page. Yeah.
I think the image that we release on social media could be like a screenshot of
his
Facebook page.
Yes. No, it's fair. So, a little question to kind of wrap up at the end. So, you remember that I said that there was a version of the story that said the goat man was originally found in Maryland. There are some who believe that he is linked to another urban legend in Maryland. Apparently they have their own Goatman legend as well, so I guess we'll have to see if he shows up amongst the most popular ones when we get to Maryland. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah,
and then
it
kind of goes further to y'all's point that apparently everybody has a Goatman.
Yeah.
I've never heard of a Goatman before.
Me neither.
Really?
Yeah, no. I mean, Lady of the Lake for sure, but
yeah,
not a Goatman.
Same.
No, I've definitely heard of the Goatman.
Wow, that was crazy.
Right.
I don't want to...
Weirdly, the part of your story that creeped me out is the train. It's
It's
actually not the goat man. I don't like heights.
I don't like
the idea that these people are falling to their death. I don't like that they're trying to outrun a train. Like, I don't like that.
So you no longer want to ride the ghost train?
I want to be on the train. I don't want to be running from a train. I do like trains.
But what if the goat man jumps on top of the train while you're on it?
That's a hard one.
You just, yeah.
You're taking something I love and you're coupling it with something I hate, and I don't know how to feel about it
right
now.
Thanks for listening to Salt Over Your Shoulder,
a Redwater production.
We appreciate your support. Your download allowed our crazy idea to gain steam and make it into your podcast directories. We couldn't do this without you. If you'd like to continue your support, you can engage with us on social media, on Twitter and Instagram at SaltThePod, or follow us on Facebook at Salt Over Your Shoulder. You can also email us at saltoveryourshoulder@gmail.com.
Special thanks to the one and only Andrew York for our awesome graphic.
If you'd like to continue your support, please consider giving us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast directory. This helps other people find us as well.
You can also become one of our patrons at patreon.com/